Today, I want to move into Galatians chapter 5, 16 to 18. And I've only went three verses in, and I want to talk to you today about the battle within. We're in part 10. I was going to look at more scripture this week, but when I got to these three verses, and I had to pause. And you'll know why as we walk through it. This week we're looking at that. Next week we're going to look at some indicators that Paul reveals to us that are spiritual troubles in our life. But there is a foundation that Paul is building upon for the rest of his letter, because he said it's grace, it's freedom, it's everything that Christ has done. But if we're not careful in the last few verses of this letter, we may get lost and go, well, I got to do this, I got to do that. But you need to understand it's built upon grace, but the next few weeks are built upon what we're going to talk about today. Let me read it to you, this foundation, in the New International Version in chapter 5, verse 16. Says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." I want you to hear it from the New Living Translation this morning. It reads this way. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil." Anybody there? I mean, really? Which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, and this is the key, directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Heavenly Father, this morning, I really do pray, and I hope we all pray, we want you to have your way. But Lord, help me to get out of the way. Lord, I want you to speak. I want your voice to be heard today as we do our very best to walk through scripture you have preserved for us. Amen. Church, let me start here. We live free when we walk by the Spirit. We live free when we walk by the Spirit. Paul tells us that if we walk by the Holy Spirit, if we're led by the Holy Spirit directing our lives, then the inconsistencies of our lives will begin to fade. Do you know what I'm talking about? We will begin to live, though, more like the way God designed for us to live. We'll know more victories than defeats if we walk by the Spirit. I mean, doesn't that sound good? Isn't that what you want? But what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? One of the amazing truths that we learn from God's Word is that those who become followers of Jesus, those who put their trust in His work and what He did for us, will be inhabited by God's Spirit. That's what it tells us. Titus 3:5 says this, "He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done." That's where we've been talking about, right? Not because of anything we've done, but because of His mercy. What did He do? He washed away our sins. Hallelujah, right? Giving us new birth, but don't miss this, and new life through the Holy Spirit. Not only are we born again, but now we have a life to live through the Holy Spirit. Church, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, He placed His Holy Spirit in us. And God's Spirit will lead us as we listen. But there is also a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being completely filled and letting the Holy Spirit begin to guide every step of our life. Not just the new birth, but the new life. Amen? Keeping in step with the Spirit. You'll hear that in a later scripture coming. But walking daily, church, consciously obeying the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. Did you know it's the Holy Spirit's job to conform us into the image of God's Son? And to do this, the Holy Spirit nudges us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit illuminates His Word to us. The Holy Spirit will give greater understanding of God's Word and insight to you even, to people, into others. He gives discernment. And He also helps us understand the situations that surround us. He equips us to do the things God desires for us to do. And also, all of those things are ultimately best for us. He knows those things. Paul's words literally mean in that scripture, by the Spirit, keep walking. The emphasis is not the walk, it's the Spirit. By the Spirit, keep walking. It's a moment-by-moment, vital, attentive relationship with God. Walking with the Spirit is an adventure with the Spirit day in and day out. In Isaiah chapter 11, we're told of one who would come from Jesse's stump. Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, is prophetically speaking of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And in this passage, we are told that Jesus would be led by the Spirit. I want to read it to you so you can pay attention to what it looks like when we read this passage, what it looks like to be led by the Spirit. Isaiah 11, 1 to 5 says, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. See, the old was the law, and there's going to be something new coming out of this, and it's our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it came from David's family. Remember all, if you don't know your Bible, you didn't get in Bible study somewhere. Go back, understand the roots and the foundations of all this. But listen to verse 2 as Isaiah pens this by the Spirit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to have the Spirit, but not only that, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Wow. You thought, well, I didn't know the Spirit had all, He has all of those. And listen to how they begin to operate in our lives. Listen to how Jesus will walk it out. Verse 3, He will delight in obeying the Lord. Everybody ought to read that with me. He will delight in obeying the Lord. Can I just reverse it for a moment and just put I will? Can you by faith say that this morning? I will delight in obeying the Lord. Why? Because you're going to be led by the Spirit. Listen to what else happens. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of His word, and one breath from His mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. Church, that's what it looks like if you walk by the Spirit. Wisdom, understanding, reverence and respect for the Lord. A relationship with others that's characterized by fairness and kindness and grace, while all the time we're walking with the undergarments of truth, because that's how we live. If we would really begin to walk in the Spirit, I'm telling you, you would begin to look more like Jesus. And if we're honest, how many would say, that's the way I want to live? I mean, really, who doesn't want to live that way? I want to live that way. We want to honor the Lord by the way we live our lives. We want to reflect and represent our Savior well. But how many realize, I'm going to be honest with you today, so if you're offended by my words, please listen to the Spirit, not me. But how many realize this doesn't happen like we want? Really? Because way too much of the time, we don't look like people who are being led by the Spirit. And you want to know why it's so hard? Let me tell you. There's a battle going on inside of us. When we come to Jesus, our Savior, we're given freedom, but that freedom that we're given, we have to battle to maintain it. How many remember our Declaration of Independence? I just had the privilege of being in D.C. not too long ago, and I was able to go to the National Archives and view that Declaration of Independence. How many like National Treasure? We're in good company. Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist or anything, but I kind of like all that stuff. But that Declaration of Independence for us was the beginning, think about it, of a struggle that was followed by a war that led to the independence of this nation. So too, your decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then follow Him is going to have ensuing battles. You are. We've got to learn to throw off the sinful self and the sinful ways of thinking. Unfortunately, that's just part of who we are. Because the flesh, our sinful nature, and the Holy Spirit have competing agendas. Maybe you're asking, well, what would those be? What do they look like? Well, how about this? The flesh is concerned about pleasing self. The Spirit seeks what? To please the Lord. How about the flesh is about the moment. The Spirit what does what? He sees the big picture. The flesh is selfish. The Spirit is generous. There's probably no better description of really what's going on inside of us than what Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 7. I want you to follow along this morning because this describes the problem. He says, so the problem is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me, for I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Anybody living there so far? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Verse 16, but if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. The law reveals sin. That's what it's there for. So verse 17, so I am not the one doing wrong, he says. It is sin living in me that does it. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, anybody lost so far? But you got it, right? I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. He says, I have discovered this principle of life. That when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is. If my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. That's the struggle. That's the battle. Has anyone here ever tried to break an addiction or a habit in your life? You know, maybe smoking, drinking, gambling, anger, junk food. Foul or filthy language. You know the things that get hold of us, and we battle to get rid of those. But you've had a desire to get rid of it, but you also had the weakness and the struggle of getting rid of them. It's with you also. You've got the battle. I don't want to do that anymore. Yes, you do want to do that. No, I don't want to do. And that struggle that we're in is a war in our life with Christ. It's a war between the spirit and the flesh. If we truly want to walk with Jesus, if we really want this consistent walk with God, we're going to have to make ourselves ready for the fight. So I'm going to give you some strategies for walking with the Spirit. The first step is simply this. Number one, pursuing His strength rather than your own. Let me say it this way. It's not about becoming a better person, but you must become a reborn person. Born again, that's where it starts. Did you know churches are filled with people who are hoping to become good people? I want to be good. I'll go to church and I'll even do religious stuff. And every week they walk out of church resolving that I'm going to do better this week. And then next weekend they return feeling defeated and beaten up because they failed again. And sometimes I've even watched it and people give up because they cannot do what they believe needs to be done in their life. But they're doing it all because it works. That's not the gospel. The gospel is about faith and learning that the grace of God is powerful. It's powerful enough to save us and then work in our lives. The message of the gospel is this. You and I are addicted to sin. Yeah, come on. You're like, oh, not me. If you have won that battle completely, then praise be to God. But I'm telling you, if Paul has to say it the way he said it, and how he lived and has a vision of a third heaven, and God uses him in miraculous ways, and he's still struggling, I'm telling you, we're still struggling. We're addicted to sin, and we need intervention. We need somebody to come and intervene on our behalf. And that intervention came by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He was our perfect sacrifice on our behalf and paid our debt for our sin. Jesus has done everything that is needed to happen before you can be made right with God. What we do is respond with faith, and now we allow ourselves to grow in His love and the astounding grace in our life more and more day by day. It's my hope that you would come into this place every week knowing that even though you may have failed at times, you are not defective. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are learning, you are growing to be more and more into the image of the Father's Son if you're listening to the Holy Spirit. And the fact that you come back every week tells me that you're not giving up on the battle yet. This morning, I want to say this, though. If you're still trying to earn God's favor by the things you do, would you give it up today? Turn to Jesus. Just open up and say, God, here I am. Here's all my weaknesses and all my failures. Would you make me whole and complete? And He will. In fact, today, right here, this is my altar call for salvation. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ, before I go any further, any other strategies, you need to accept Him so the Holy Spirit can take residence in your life, because all the other strategies will become striving and working instead of listening to the Holy Spirit in your life. So this morning, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. And if there's anyone in this room, maybe you've fallen away from God. Maybe you once followed Him, but you've allowed things to separate you from Him. And maybe you just never accepted Christ. And today you want to put your faith in Him, that He died on the cross. You want Him to be Lord of your life. You believe He rose again. And that's where you're placing your faith today. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up, balcony or main floor? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Is there any others? Yes, sir. Anyone else? This is where we start, because if we're going to walk this thing, we got to start here. Amen. I just need everybody to pray with me today. We're going to resettle the issue as we move forward. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I believe by faith that you sent your son Jesus to die in my place. And by faith, I confess Jesus as Lord of my life. I believe you rose from the dead. And I believe you are going to lead me. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in my life. Lead me, I pray. Amen. And all heaven celebrates. Amen. That's where we start. And all of you who have already accepted, already walking that, those who made that decision, listen, the Holy Spirit has taken residence. He is there, and he's saying, I want you to listen to me. And that first strategy is knowing that I got to pursue his strength, not my own. His, not my own. His, not my own. You get that? Strategy number two. We need to learn to listen to God's word. God speaks most clearly through his word. You will have difficulty discerning the voice of God's Spirit if you do not hide God's word in your heart. Let me explain that for a moment. The goal of our life, listen carefully, is to be so familiar with God's word that we already have a good idea of what God is going to say without ever having to go look for it. Think about it. I know what? I read his word. That's what his word says, because the Holy Spirit has a way of bringing it to remembrance. But to be in your memory, it has to be placed there. You need to learn to listen to God's word. The desire to walk so close, this is what I want, the desire to walk so close to the Lord that you can distinguish his voice from all the others. When you begin to read scripture or hear scripture, pay attention to the voice of the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit, help me understand the word. When I read it, what is there? Is there a promise there for me today? Something I can embrace? Lord, is there a sin that you're revealing in my life that I need to repent of? Lord, is there a truth that I caught today that makes me more excited about knowing who you are and appreciating what you've done in my life? As you read his word, those are the things I'm saying, Spirit, show me. If you read the Bible expecting to hear, you will hear. But know this, God's Spirit is not the only voice that's speaking to you. Satan is whispering to you. And this world is screaming at you. You get it? And not only that, you've got your own sinful inclinations speaking to you. You can get away with it. Come on, we've all heard the voice. So we've got to train ourselves to listen to the right voice, and it comes from God's word. A third strategy is we just need to do what God says. Doesn't that sound so simple? We just do what he says. All throughout the word of God, God would speak, but many, many times the people would need to respond to what he first spoke. See, we want God, just do it all, God, just do it all. And he says, wait a minute, we're in partnership. You're my son. You're my daughter. I'm just telling you what to do. Have you ever told your child, just do this? And they're like, well, how much more? You know what I mean? It's like, clean that up. But just start somewhere. Did you know Moses was told before the Red Sea parted? We love the story. But you know what Moses is told? Lift your staff up. Well, Lord, could you just show me before I do anything that you're going to do something? No, he just need to do what God said to do. Moses lifts his staff and wind comes, dries the land. And then we have another story of when they're going into the promised land that the priest of Israelites are carrying the ark, but God says, you got to step in the water this time. You got to put your feet in that water before it will part. You know what? That's what they did. They just did what God told them. I mean, they're walking into deep water. We're going to drown. See, we get ahead of God instead of just doing what God tells us to do. What about Gideon? Gideon is this great man of faith. I mean, really? The fleece thing, if you've ever studied that. Listen, go to Sunday school. It's really good. But Gideon has to get rid of men, and he's struggling with that, but he just does each step along the way as God tells him what to do, because he ends up defeating a huge army with just 300 men. He started with 23,000, and God has to weed it out, because all you got to do is do what God says. How about Peter? Peter just had to get out of the boat. Jesus says, come to me. The voice was there. You just do it. The disciples, they're like, man, we got all these people and they're hungry. And you know what? Jesus said what? First, just find out what we got. Well, what are we going to do with that? And then they're still going, all we got is this. But church, if you just learn to do what God tells you to do. Here's the point. God is not going to lead someone who's not willing to follow. You're going, God, I want to hear your voice. But he's going, why am I going to talk to you? You're not going to even do it. Do you see what I'm saying? Are we wanting to be there? If God tells us to do something, just do it. Fourth strategy, my last strategy, serve others. Doesn't that just sound like really easy? One of the best ways to learn the joy of walking in the Spirit is serving others. Our sinful life, you need to understand, makes life all about us. But the life in the Spirit looks outward. And there's a lot of ways to serve. Just stop and talk to somebody who might be look like they're lonely. Take time with people. Quit being in such a hurry. Help your neighbor. Help your friend with a project. Hang out with them. Write a note. Encourage someone. Let them know how much you appreciate them. And by the way, I want to say thank you right now on behalf of our entire pastoral staff. Thank you for your kindness to us. And it's not just a one day. Church, you have been kind throughout the year. Thank you. We love and appreciate you so much. I'm glad you're here. But church, we are in a battle. There is a war that rages inside of each of us. And that's why every day we need to prepare and ready ourselves and live according to the Spirit rather than the flesh. In fact, you need to know every inch that is gained. Now listen, we like to take leaps in the Lord. That's kind of cool, man. I went from here to there. But you got to understand, most of our growth probably is by inches or millimeters. And every one of them draws us closer to the Lord. It increases your joy. It allows you to be more effective. And ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who's there to help us introduce the world around us to our great Savior, Jesus. That's what it's about. Now, having the Spirit of God in us because we're saved is marvelous. It's incredible. I am so glad for every one of you who have accepted Christ and the Holy Spirit is there and he's going to begin speaking. But there is more life in the Spirit if you desire it. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it allows you to commune and to fellowship with God in a deeper way. Worship team, would you go ahead and come? I want you to hear what happens near the end of the Acts story of the church and what was happening in the church. In Acts 19, this is what we read. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There, he found some disciples. Isn't that wonderful? I've showed up in a city, and here are people who are trying to follow this new way. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied, referring to John the Baptist. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Now, you need to understand, that falls into works. That's where it started. Because it was all about, you know what? God's speaking to you, and you know you've not been following the law. You know all those things. You need to repent. So they would do this in regards to works. I'm trying to improve myself. I'm not trying to do those things I used to do. But listen to what Paul has to tell them. He says, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people, believe it. He, speaking of John the Baptist, was the one saying this. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. Even Paul or John was saying, I'm not the one. I'm just one crying out in the wilderness. Repent. But Jesus is the one I'm talking about. Because I want you to know him, because there's grace. He's the Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. So Paul goes on in verse 5. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They really got saved. That day it was like, I see it's not works, I get it, but now it's Jesus. And the Holy Spirit took residence, but listen to what happened. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. All of a sudden, they are filled with the Spirit. They got the words that said, that's out of the way, the grace is here, and the Holy Spirit was already there, but they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, I know there is a battle going on in this world. And it is complicated because of the battle that's going on in you. And that is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to help us walk the way we need to walk. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you today. The Holy Spirit will come. He will help you grow. He'll help you with the battle every day, but only as we listen to him. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, I need you to really capture today. Because I didn't go any further, because all of a sudden we're going to begin to look at things that you're going to look at as repentance. And you're going to start working at it, going, I got to get rid of that. The key is listening to the Holy Spirit. Because later when we'll get to the fruits of the Spirit, and what if we turn those into works? Well, I got to have joy. Okay, I just have joy. But wait a minute. That's work. But if I listen to the Spirit who says the joy of the Lord is your strength, and all of a sudden I'm walking a different way because I'm listening to a different voice and not the flesh. Church, today is so important, and it will be over the course of these next few weeks, because if we enter any of this with the concept of works, we're going to miss it. But if we enter it with walking by the Spirit, I'll keep walking. By the Spirit is the only way we're going to be able to conquer and work through. And church, I know that being saved, you have the Spirit. But church, there is more for you. That is why Paul gets to this place. He understands they're kind of believers. They're getting there. But he's like, have you heard of the Holy Spirit? And they're like, we hadn't heard of that. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he is the third person of the Trinity. And Jesus said, if I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And he will come. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll convict you of sin. And he'll judge the world in regards to its sin. That's what he's here to do. But then he said, listen, disciples, I want you to go, and I want you to wait in Jerusalem. I want you to tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Why do you think the disciples were effective as they were? Because they did it by the flesh, or they did it by the Spirit. And they didn't have it all right in the beginning either. They just began to walk it and live it out as the Spirit began to speak to them. So church, I want you, I desire for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an initial evidence that comes called tongues. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I was 14 the first time, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was at home for me. But I remember later on in my ministry, it was while I was in Canada, actually, in ministry there. I believed it all. I have faith in it all. But I'm like, God, I know it's real, but God, would you refill me? Because I just wanted that confirmation. I just didn't want to walk in routine. I wanted to really flow and move in the Holy Spirit and not in a language. But that day, the Holy Spirit refilled me, gave me another language. Actually, when I pray in the Holy Spirit, I pray in about four different type of languages. And when I get real intense, boy, that language is fierce. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it's like, you don't want to be around me because you'll feel like I might be cursing you out or something. I feel like it's just one of those, man, you know, speaking to the enemy and saying, get out. There's others that are so sweet. And you need to understand, in our global world today, tongue, did you know God doesn't speak English? He speaks heart. That's why all the syllables are not what the meaning is in. That's why we can pray in the Holy Spirit and with that tongue, and it can be released because it's the Holy Spirit. And He knows the mind of God. And so we get lost in all these syllables. We get lost in all of that. You just need to learn to speak heart. And if God gives words, listen, you can pray without understanding. That's between you and Him. Now, in a church setting like this, when there's a tongue, there's instruction in the Word of God that there needs to be an interpretation, or else it brings confusion to people. There's all good stuff there, but what I'm talking about today is for your life. I'm wondering, are you really hungry for more of God? Are you just satisfied? I've got salvation. It's enough. I'll walk it out. It'll be okay. But I'm telling you, you're walking in a battlefield. And if you're not careful, there are mines everywhere, and the flesh has placed them there. But if you'll listen to the Spirit, you will know where to step. And you won't blow up through life. Come on, how many of you have had those blow ups? You've hit mines again and again because of the flesh. The rest of them are perfect. It's just us. Next week, if that's you, just sit in this section so I can preach to you. The rest of you can just listen in. Come on, the minefields, we have blown up. Because we stepped on them because of the flesh, instead of listening to the Holy Spirit and carefully, by the Spirit, walking. Because church, I know there's struggles, but I know there's freedom. I know that there can be more victories than defeats. I know that by His power, by His strength, we can do it. And your life will begin to look more and more like Jesus. The kindness and all of these things that we're going to talk about will begin to come out of your life. But they're fruits of what? The Spirit. Not fruits of salvation. Are you getting it? So where and what do I need? More of the Spirit. More of Him in my life. Now this morning, I'm going to ask the worship team, they're just going to lead. But we're about to open this place up. And my pastors are here. And you need to understand something this morning. I'm not the baptizer. Paul wasn't the baptizer when he laid hands on. Jesus is the baptizer. He's the one that said, if I go away, I will sin. I will sin. But are we waiting? Are we hungry? Are we desiring? Are you tired of the battles? Are you ready for victories in your life? Because carefully again, next week, if you walk in here, and those who weren't here today, and that's why I'm going to bring this up for a few weeks, because you're going to need to know I'm walking by the Spirit, or otherwise I'm going to get caught back into works. There are things that the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you about. There are things that need to be worked out of your life. And there are things that need to be worked into your life. There are fruits that He desires to bear out of you. But I've got to desire Him if I'm going to walk this thing. You get it? So this morning, I don't know if you've been filled. I don't know if you need to be refilled. I don't know where you're at. But I'll tell you this, I want you to desire more. I want you to desire. And whether the Holy Spirit fills you today with that tongues or what, but I'm telling you what, I want you to be hungry. I want you to begin to serve and search after Him and more of Him. Amen? So we're going to worship, you're going to come, and we're going to pray, and we're going to believe, and we're going to let Jesus the baptizer do what He does. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning, I really pray, have your way. Lord, like on the day of Pentecost, we have gathered together. And Lord, we are praising you. We are thanking you. We are loving you. But Lord, we need to be endued with power from on high. We need your direction. We need to hear your voice today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you need to go, God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week. But for those who are desiring, would you come? Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's ask. Let's seek. And let Him do what He wants to in our lives. Amen. God bless you. Would you come?